And today we're going to go to the sixth reading of Parshas Bahar. It's a relatively short Parsha. Oftentimes, this reading is conjoined. Bahar is with Bichul Kesei. So, from the fourth reading onward, the Torah talks to us about human trafficking. That terrible S word, slavery.
Have we started a process to bring that back yet? Good idea.
You think? So the Torah says in the beginning of the fourth reading, that if a person falls into hard times and then he has to sell his property, and there's like a whole discussion in Rashi about how this happens. It's the result of sin. Inappropriate behavior brings a person into an inappropriate situation. And we talk about selling off real estate, ancestral properties. And eventually, when a person becomes so desperate that they literally have to sell themselves into a period of indentured labor. And that's how this reading opens. If your brother falls so low, imach, with you, he ends up getting sold to you. So then, you shall not treat him like a slave. A little bit of background here. We are speaking about a circumstance or situation where a person has a choice. The choice is either to become homeless or starve in the streets, or the person's choice is to be sold into a period of indentured labor and as such have a roof over his head, a warm bed to sleep in at night, relative comfort, his needs are being met, and he doesn't have the freedom to pick up and quit. They can't just say, you know what, I don't like this job you have for me today. It's not an option, dude. You are an indentured laborer. You will do as you are told. And a person makes that choice. He makes that choice to give up his freedom in order to have survival. He gives up his human dignity to some degree. Because, as we know in the Western world, our freedom is our dignity. And here this person gives up his freedom. But the term slavery, in the Torah perspective, means a person who gives up their freedom, not a person who is abused, beaten, demonized, harmed, or hurt. Chas v'shalom. On the contrary, most of what the Western world calls human rights are actually taken from the Torah's descriptions of how we treat this slave, which is, at very least, of interest. So, verse 39 of the 25th chapter of Leviticus, which is the beginning of Shishi. It would be the fourth reading if this was a conjoined parsha. The Torah tells us, so when the person falls very low, there's one thing you won't do, even if he sells himself into slavery, and that is leisavid be'avedus avid. So what exactly does that mean? That's a very vague. Don't treat him like a slave. When he sells himself as a slave, don't treat him like a slave. Well, it's like a little bit of a contradiction. You said he sold himself as a slave, but don't treat him like a slave. So how should you treat him? Okay. So what does that mean? So when you have the situation of human trafficking, I should add self-trafficking. It's the person selling himself. So Rashi says, how do you define avaydus avid? How do you define dignity? What is the meaning of, does he have his freedom still? Can he do as he pleases? Can he dictate the terms of his employment? Absolutely not. That's the point. He's sold himself as a slave here. So Rashi says it means aveda shel gnai. You cannot give him things to do which rob him of his dignity, which make him feel as if he is an inferior creature. Shehei nikar bo ke'eved, that this person should feel as if he is but a slave. What's an example of that? What's something that would rob him of dignity? Shele yelech kelov achad av lebeis amerchatz. He doesn't have him carrying his underwear to the bathhouse. He doesn't have him zipping up his shoes or tying his straps. Because doing things like that would be demeaning. Now, the truth must be understood here that this person who has been sold into a period of indentured labor, he elected to do this. That was his choice. You could either be homeless, who has no dignity, or you could be a person who has a clean bed, a warm shower, a roof over your head, and a hot meal. That's a choice the person made. And the person has the right to make that choice. He has the right to give up his rights. He has the right to choose to be an indentured laborer. So why does the Torah say that I can't do those things? That was his choice. I need somebody to carry my undergarments. I'm consider myself very dignified. I go to the bathhouse, yes, but I don't want anybody. I need somebody else carrying that bag for me. So here you have to understand that we're speaking specifically about a fellow member of Am Yisrael, and we have familial obligations. This is not avodas eved doesn't mean a beating. Avodas eved doesn't mean chas v'shalom exploitation. It doesn't mean, God forbid, abuse. That's self-understood. But what we speak here about is something which is demeaning. And because a person who's a member of Am Yisrael is your brother, when it's your own family, you have to treat your family different. This is not about human rights. This is not about basic human dignity. Because whether or not it's your brother or not, no human being is allowed to be exploited. No human being is about to be harmed or hurt or abused ever. What you can do is not worry about his dignity per se. But this person is your brother, and the Torah says, as such, you have familial obligation and responsibility. And the Torah says to you, do not treat the member of your family that way. So how should you treat him? Rashi says, I'll tell you. The Chumash says, I'll tell you. You should treat him kisacher kisayshav. You could treat him like a hired hand. Treat him like a resident, ye'imach. Atshnas ha'yevel, he'll be like that until the year of the Jubilee. Yavad imach, he'll work with you. Now, I want you to know that Rashbam, he interprets the idea of avodas eved as avodas perach, as backbreaking labor. Rashi doesn't say that. Because it's self-understood that you can't give a person something which is abusive per se. You're not allowed to abuse anybody. Rashi says the unique nature of this instruction is not one ruling out abuse, but rather one necessitating the additional care and concern that you have for a member of Am Yisrael who is necessarily considered a member of your family. And because he's a member of your family, even though this is an individual that sold himself into slavery, the Torah says, how should he be treated then? A member of your family should be treated kisachir and be treated kiteshav. So what does this mean? Rashi says, just like a person who was hired for a short amount of time or a particular job, whether it's longer period, a shorter period, you can't have him do whatever you might want. He's hired for a specific job. So you can't say, well, you were hired to do the lawn. While you're at it, take out the garbage. He says, I don't do garbage. I do the lawn. I'm the gardener. That's what I do. So Rashi says, this means, for example, avodas karka, to work in the field, work with the agriculture, melechas umanus, a profession you could give him. Kishar schidim is naigbe. You treat him like anybody else who's hired for a job. So find out what his job description is. And whenever you decide his job description is, that's the kind of things, the kind of work he should be given. But he shouldn't be given just any which work which comes your way. Because, hey, you know what? You're a slave, so do this, that, or the other thing. Really and truly, if a person sold himself as an indentured laborer, you should have the right to do that. I mean, that's his choice. He gave his rights away. He said, I'd rather have a bed to sleep in at night than a roof over my head, and I'll do just about anything. However, since a member of your family, you cannot do just about anything. You have to give him a specific parameter of what his work is, and that's the meaning of treating him like a sachir or a teishav. So in other words, from Rashi's perspective, sachir and teishav refers to somebody who would be hired for a short-term period, maybe for an hour or two or a day, or a teishav is a person who is on contract, is a long-term contract with you. Here's the person, he's the gardener, he's the butler, he's the baker, whatever it might be, that's his job, that's what he does. Then if that's what he does, then that's what you have to have him do. But he's not going to be there available, jack of all trades, master of none, just do whatever I tell you, and that's all. This is Rashi's way of understanding Kisachar Kateshav. Some of the Rishonim explained it a little bit differently. The Sephorno, for example, says that Sachir refers to the person who is sold into an indentured period of labor, which is up to 6 years. And in the seventh year, he goes free. And the Soishav is the person who chose to have his ear pierced and remain with his master, and he's going to be there for a longer period of time. So that's the Sachir and Kateshav, whether it's long or short. how long can he work? He can work ad shnas hayevel, until the Jubilee. Rashi says, the meaning of he can work until the Jubilee is that we speak here about an Eved Ivri, a Hebrew slave, who was sold for 6 years. Okay. And if he does not want to go free, so then he has his ear pierced and he remains on. However, the Torah teaches me in Pagobo Yevol, the Fnei Sheshanim, not only does the Jubilee set him free after his 6 years, but here I'm being taught additionally that if the Jubilee arrives before the 6 years, Hayoivil Metziyah, then Jubilee takes him out. In other words, nobody remains in a period of indentured labor once the Jubilee hits. And that's why this has to be repeated a second time. Achnas Hayoivil, says the Chizkuni. Why do we have to repeat this a second time? Rashi said we have to repeat it a second time earlier. We read it in verse 10, now reading it in verse 39, verse 40. The reason is because it could be even in the 6 years that a person would go free. According to the Chizkuni, the reason is, previously we spoke about somebody which is Machruhu Bezdin, somebody who the courts sold him into a period of indentured labor. Why? Because he was a criminal. Because he stole somebody's money. And he couldn't make restitution. Took all that money and went off to Ramah and blew it in one night. And now this poor senior citizen who put away the life savings to be able to live is destitute and penniless. What would happen in the Western world? Go to victim services, they'll buy you a coffee. Nothing. Versus I can't pay my rent. Well, we can obtain a conviction, maybe. Put him in prison for 3 years and then he's back in the streets. And what did the victim get? Absolutely nothing. So what kind of justice is that? So here, this person was told he should make restitution. He says, I don't have the money anymore. I don't have any money. You don't have money? No problem. You'll be sold into a period of indentured labor, and then that money that's taken will go to the victim. So the victim gets indemnification. So that's what we talked about previously. That in Pogba, Bachyevel, if Yevel arrives, he's set free. At the end of the day, we're talking about a convicted criminal. So again, a person did something wrong. Here we're speaking about a person who elected to become a slave. He said, I can't bear the challenge of finding enough money to put food on my table every day. I just can't deal with this anymore. I need to know I have safety and security. I want to know that I'm taken care of. Basic communism. Self-imposed personal communism. This way I know I'm taken care of, so I give my freedom away. Even that person, when the Jubilee comes, has to be set free. That's the way Rashi looks at it.
And it is that person's dignity to be concerned about, but the criminal, it's not? Or like why? You know what I mean? Like
okay, so now we're going to talk about dignity. First of all, we spoke about the dignity of people during the period of being in indentured labor, during the period of slavery, right? And then the Torah talks about going free. So the Torah says, "V'yotza mi'imach," he'll go out. Hu uvan of imay, he and his children. V'shavu mishpachta, he returns to his family. He returns to achuzas avosav, returns to the estate, the homestead of his ancestors Yashuv. So he goes back to his original family standing. Now, Achuzas Avosav, Rashi says, means El Kvoid Avosav. What if he doesn't have a home to go back to? He didn't have any property. Remember, this guy sold himself into slavery because he didn't have anything. So he said, oh, go back to what you had. Had nothing. So Achuzas Avosav, Rashi says, means El Kvoid Avosav. It means going back to the same dignity that he occupied before. So even though the person is going to be treated Kisachar and Kiteshav, even though this is a person who's not going to be worked like an Avodas Eved, nonetheless, there's still a loss of dignity. The fact that somebody is enslaved to somebody else is a loss of dignity. So when that period comes to an end, then he has to be brought back to his previous standing. And Rashi says, the ein lezalzel ibekach, do not demean him. Do not abuse this person's dignity in any way, shape, or form. So achuza, then, from Rashi's perspective here, does not mean the ancestral lands. It does not mean the estate. What it does mean is chezkas. It means the assumed position, societal status, or position that this person occupied, the position of respect or dignity, the person goes back to his position of respect and dignity. That's the story the Torah tells us. A, during his period of indentured labor, he has to be treated like a mensch. He cannot be treated like a slave. B, when he does go free, then he has to be held in esteem as he was previously. And he cannot be demeaned. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this business of him returning to his family's home, him having his dignity restored to him. So we talk about human dignity here. We're talking here about the human dignity that he endures during his period of indentured labor. Don't work him like a slave. We're talking about the notion that when he is actually working as a slave, that he has to be kesacher ketoshev, that he has to be a respectable position. And now the Torah is telling us something else, that when that period comes to an end, then he has to have his former dignity restored to him. Then his human dignity is not simply as not being a slave, but now he has to be treated as he was previously. And Rashi says this means el kvod avosav. So let's go to page Shin Pei Beis in the Biurim book, Simen Yud Zayin. Yesh Lishol. Here's a question you could ask. Madua Maifi Azhar Azu, why is it that this warning, Shein Lezalzol B'chveid Ho'eved La'achar Shesiyem Estkufas Avaydasei, do not demean or in any way encroach on the dignity of this person after, following his period of indentured labor, when he's no longer engaged as a slave. The Torah didn't say that before. This is not the first time the Torah talks about human trafficking. In fact, in Parshas Mishpatim, the Parsha immediately after giving the Torah speaks about exactly this. Incidentally, as we mentioned, the Torah speaks about that in Parshas Mishpatim, primarily in Zmishchuhu Nimker Begnevase, the convicted criminal who was sold to make restitution to the victim. Now we're speaking about a different situation. Now we're speaking about the person who elected to sell himself. Now, this difference in Rashi is found primarily in Parshas Mishpatim and in Parshas Bahar. In Parshas Mishpatim, in the middle of the book of Exodus, it refers to Misha Nimka Bignevose, the convicted criminal who was sold to make restitution to his victims. In Parshas Bahar, we speak about the person who elected to sell himself. As we mentioned, the Sefarno draws this distinction between what is written earlier in chapter in verse 10 about getting set free at the Jubilee, and the notion of the Jubilee setting him free now is about the person who elected to sell himself. But according to Rashi, that difference, that distinction, is drawn primarily Parsha-wise, book-wise. The servant, the Eved of Parshas Bahar, is one Eved. The Eved of Parshas Mishpatim of Exodus is another Eved. So the Rebbe asks a question. Okay, fine. So you're telling me that this business of restoration of dignity from Rashi's perspective is not about the notion of how he's treated when he's a slave, but after, in the post-indentured period. And the Rebbe's question is, how come we didn't hear about this in Parshas Mishpatim? How come previously when we talked about the slave, the convicted criminal who was sold into slavery in order to make restitution, he also goes free? And when he goes free, the Torah doesn't say v'shavel mishpachtei. The Torah does not emphasize him being restored to his position of former dignity. Why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about it here? Harei, it would seem, l'chayder hachshash l'zilzul gadol yeser, kish medubar ba'adam shenitfas bigneva. It would seem that the possibility of a person being demeaned and denigrated, the possibility of a person being robbed of his dignity and looked down upon, is far greater when we speak about a convicted criminal than a person who is, as Tevye would say, it's not a sin to be poor. He's poor. He didn't have money. What should he do? He sold himself into a period of indentured labor because he simply couldn't keep body and soul together. And Torah says, hey, don't mistreat him. When he leaves that position, you make sure to be nice to him. You make sure that he's treated just as he was before. Now, if you ask me, if there's going to be two people, and one is in a position in which he feels maybe a low sense of self-esteem, where he's looked down upon, who would that be? The poor person or the convicted criminal? For sure, the convicted criminal. And strangely, when it comes to the convicted criminal, the Torah does not say anything about the dignity in the post-indentured era. And here it does.
Makes sense.
Why?
Criminal.
The person broke the law. They hurt.
Yeah, so. Oh, 1 second. Guys, let me tell you a little secret. This halacha applies to both servants. In both situations, the person has to be treated that way. It's not only, if you would say it's only when the person sold himself that he has to be treated that way. Say, oh, this is a criminal, he doesn't deserve dignity. But actually, the Torah says once your period of labor is finished, you also have to be given the same dignity. The halacha applies across the boards. Halacha applies to every situation. And This becomes the question then. If the halacha applies to every situation, if everybody has to be treated with the same dignity, then why does the Torah emphasize specifically when a person has sold himself because of poverty rather than the person who was sold by the courts because of his crimes that he was convicted for? So the Rebbe says an amazing thing. He anesenes. That is exactly the point. What's the point? Adam shenichshol b'gneiva. A person who he fell. He fell, moral failing. He became a thief. He stole somebody else's money. A criminal. V'nimkar la'aveda ka'in shagnevase. This is how he gets punished. Not that he goes to a prison and he eats on the taxpayer's dollar. And he learns more tricks of the trade. No, he's sent into a home where he's got to work now, where he doesn't have any fantastic dignity. His freedom is taken away, and it is what it is. You stole money, you're a convicted criminal, restitution has to be made, there's no choice. So miskabel al adas, it's logical to assume shehoinish goydim leile hischara tvelas is tshuva lagnev. A person like that probably had lots of time to think about what he did wrong. And is thinking about what he did wrong, what's invariably the feeling that will follow? Remorse, regret and remorse.
But you get repeated offenders.
You get repeated offenders when people are sitting in the taxpayer's trough and don't have to work a day in their life. They're just treated like rabbits, which is called humane. Because we don't see them cry, and we don't see the emotional trauma and suffering, and the person's treated like a rabbit and thrown into a prison cell, and he sits there, and one of two things happen. Either maybe he turns to faith, maybe some kind of deviant faith, or maybe he learns more about the criminal world. There's a whole system of survival there. You know? There's a mob, there's the criminals who run the place, and he becomes a bigger criminal. But here, he's got no company, no bad company. He's not in the person's house with anybody else. All he is a person who's got to do work now. He's got to do labor now. Incidentally, the secular world doesn't always get it wrong. When I was a kid, we lived in New Jersey, and one Shabbos we went to New York and we came back and our windows were smashed. Vandalism. And the local police caught the kids. They were teenagers. And guess what they made them do? They made them mow our lawn for the next 6 weeks. And you know what? I thought it was a very smart thing. A, our lawn got mowed. And B, these kids learned, you vandalize somebody's property, you have to do something about it. Now, they probably did it because they were minors and they couldn't be put in a halfway house or whatever else it was. Yeah, right? It wasn't enough to convict them. You smashed the window and turned the water on. But the point was that if a person does something wrong, then they should have to make up for it. And make up for it means likely that they will do tshuva. One second. A Baal Tshuva, a person who did the wrong thing, but then experienced regret. What happens to that person? Can you remind them of their Avera? Can you say, hey, don't get so high and mighty there, because I remember you used to be a criminal. We have an open halacha that says, Asar Leimer L'Baal Tshuva, you're not allowed to tell a person who is a returnee, a penitent, you cannot tell him, Zechor Ma'asecha Rishonim, don't get too proud of yourself. Remember who you used to be. You're not allowed to do that. So it's self-understood that this person, when he'll be sold in a period of labor because of his convicted crime, and he has to bear the shame of being sold as a slave, and now act like a slave to some degree. Why? Because he did a crime. For sure did tshuva. So it's self-understood that when his period of indentured labor is over, how's he going to be treated? Like a Baal Tshuva. What does it mean, like a Baal Tshuva? He's with dignity. Nobody's going to bring to mind the previous circumstance. The umazais, in sharp contrast, here we have a person, shemacheres atzmila avdus miritzoinoi. Here we have a person who elected to be sold into this situation. Do you know why? Because he was poor. What would Tevye tell you? It's not a sin to be poor. In fact, Tevye said, there's no shame in being poor. What's the shame? In poor. So if there's no shame, so should he feel bad for anything? But our sages tell us, and Rashi quotes this earlier, that this whole downward spiral ultimately does come from sin. The There was a time when we, the Jewish people, were so close to Hashem that when we behaved inappropriately, it would necessarily impact us. It would impact our finances. It would impact our success to the point that we would lose what we had because of sin. But this person doesn't feel that he's a criminal. He doesn't feel that he needs to do tshuva. He just feels wronged. He just feels like he fell upon hard times. He just feels that he had the short end of the stick. There's a much bigger reason to assume that this person did not do tshuva. Aha, if he didn't do tshuva, but he was a slave, there's a chash gadol yeser, a much greater suspicion that this person, that he'll be mistreated. Therefore, that he should return to his previous standing, el kvod avosav, to his previous sense of honor and dignity. Ein lezalzel bekach, do not mistreat him and denigrate him, even though maybe he didn't do tshuva. The first guy we know did tshuva. The second person maybe didn't do tshuva. Nonetheless, we say, hey, stop where you are. A person's dignity comes first. So the human greatness is that a person could do tshuva. That's human greatness. And human greatness is that a person could overcome where he was and be in a new position and situation. That's true. However, even if he didn't become somebody who assumed the mantle of human greatness, he didn't do tshuva, the dignity still has to be afforded nonetheless. And now it all makes sense.
I spoiled it for him. I told him otherwise. The Torah could have said,